Good morning. Thank you all for coming. This morning I'm going to talk about fire prevention and burn injury prevention among young kids, but more specifically how to communicate that information to them among kids 6 to 9 years old. That's the population of interest for this particular study. I have no financial disclosure to disclose, except to say that this project was funded by NFPA, which is the National Fire Prevention Association, with funding from DHS, Department of Homeland Security. Andrea Gillen, my colleague at Hopkins, was the principal investigator for this particular project. Most people in this room know about fire and burn injuries, particularly among the young. Between 2000 and 2007, a little over 4,000 children 18 years and younger died in house fires. In 2009, more than 111,000 kids in this age group suffered non-fatal fire and burn injuries. So given these statistics, it's obviously important to educate children to prevent fire-related injuries, and it's also important to educate parents who might have something to say to their kids. So this is sort of the background about the project itself. What we don't know, and what there's not a whole lot of research about, is how do you communicate effectively to kids this young? Do you frame messages in a positive way? Do you frame messages in a negative way? That's a very fundamental question that we might want to ask. So what do we mean by that? If you frame safety messages in a positive way, you might show the safe and healthy behaviors with beneficial outcomes. That this is easy to model. It's easy to show kids who are doing the healthy things. But on the other hand, it's kind of boring. It doesn't elicit much attention if everything is just hunky-dory, right? Especially for kids. So the other option you might have would be to present a negatively framed message where you show the negative consequences of engaging in an unsafe behavior. This has the benefit of eliciting a lot of attention from kids, but it also has the potential danger that we would end up modeling a behavior that we don't want kids to be engaging in. So there is this nice tension between presenting information in a positive frame or a negative frame for young kids. Now, in health communication, there is an extensive literature on what they call message framing effects among older persons, which tends to show that for prevention as opposed to treatment, you might want to think about presenting information either in a positive way or a negative way. But regardless, for young kids, there's almost no research on what is more effective. We have this intuition that we should only show positively framed messages, but we don't know empirically whether that is in fact the case or not. So the research questions that we asked in this particular project are positively framed messages more or less effective than negatively framed messages for young children? And number two, these messages that we want to disseminate are almost never done in a complete social vacuum. There are teachers who disseminate this information. There are parents who disseminate this information. So in this particular study, we wanted to see whether parental mediation, that is, if parents and children watch the same fire safety message, and there is discussion between the parent and the child about what the child just saw, would that make a difference? In particular, does it matter how the parent communicates with the child that might elicit different reactions from the kids? So we conducted a laboratory-based experiment. It was a 2x3 between subjects design. The two factors were, first, the message frame. So we developed videos that were either showing the behavior in a positive way with positive benefits at the end, or the same behavior was portrayed in a negative light with negative consequences at the end. And then there were three mediation conditions, one in which the videos were shown to kids and parents were told nothing. So they were free to either talk to their kids or not. So that's the no mediation condition. In the second condition, parents were asked, can you please talk to your kids about what they just saw? Very much like the information we see in drug use messages, right? Talk to your kids about drugs. No guidance provided about how to do so. And in the third condition, we explicitly provided guidance to the parents and said, here are three things you might want to talk about. Here are three conversation starters about what you just saw. So can you talk to your kids about these three things? Okay. So there were six experimental conditions. Positive frame, no mediation. Positive frame, unguided mediation. Or a positive frame, guided mediation. And then the three mirror images of that for the negatively framed messages. This study was done last year, last summer, and this is our sample size. Each cell reflects the number of parent-child pairs that came. So there were 321 pairs, 642 individuals who came to this particular study. And the main thing here is that it was fairly well balanced in terms of positively framed and negatively framed, 158 versus 163. And then the three mediation groups, a little over 100 in each of those groups. How do we do the study? Well, we recruited parent-child pairs from Baltimore and the greater Baltimore area, including the surrounding suburbs, through the assistance of this firm called AIM, which is Assistance in Marketing. It's a firm that does recruitment for commercial enterprise. By placing advertisements in newspapers in the community, in the Baltimore Sun, in magazines, in various community centers, laundromats, and so forth, to say, we're doing this study, Hopkins is doing this study, if you are interested, please contact this number, and so forth. And then the parents called AIM, and the folks at AIM then made appointments for particular slots in which the parent-child pairs were to come to the studio lab in Towson, Maryland, which is just outside Baltimore. The parent-child pairs were randomly assigned to the experimental conditions, to one of the six experimental conditions that I just showed you. The stimulus materials themselves were brief videos featuring young adolescents. So we knew that for this age group, from 6 to 9 years old, they would look up to kids who were slightly older than them. So we had young adolescents act as models and developed 3 to 4 minute videos that were professionally scripted and shot by Meath Media, which is an outfit out of Boston that does a lot of production for PBS. They've done a number of videos for PBS. And these video segments, 3 to 4 minute video segments, were inserted as pods, very much as you might see a commercial, for example, in the middle of a PBS program called Design Squad. And this is a program that appeals particularly to young kids. We had two sets of videos. The first one was about get low. We called it get low and go, which basically meant that if there's a fire in your room, crouch down and then get out of there, right? In the positively framed videos, kids were shown waking up in the morning, there's a fire in your bedroom, they're crouching down, taking off. And then afterwards, everything is fine, they're happily playing video games. In the negatively framed, they do not do so. They take their time getting out. They're standing up. They're coughing and sneezing and so forth. And then they're shown they're not able to play video games at the end. They're taken to the hospital. So that's a negative outcome. Cool the burn. The positively framed messages were a kid is frying eggs and holds on to the pan, the frying pan, gets himself burned. And then immediately puts his hand under a cool water tap, which I'm told is the right behavior to do, and then is later shown to be playing video games. In the negatively framed video, the same thing happens, except instead of putting his hand under a cool water, puts butter on the burn, exacerbates the burn, and later cannot play video games, right? So that's basically the setup. So when the parent-child pair walked into the studio lab, they were first consented, given informed consent forms, and then they were taken to a video watching booth in a room sort of like this, with a screening on one wall. And there were three booths. Each booth had one parent-child pair. And they watched this design squad video, within which were embedded our one of the six different messages. And then after another 5 or 10 minutes of the program, the second video was shown. So each kid saw both the get low and go and the cool the burn. And they were all in either the positively framed, so both were positively framed or both were negatively framed, and the order was counterbalanced to make sure that we weren't getting order effects. Okay. So negatively framed messages: during a fire, the model did not get low and go and required hospitalization for smoke inhalation. In the positively framed message, the model got low and left the room and was shown unharmed. In the other one, after getting hand burned by catching a hot pan, the model applied butter and later could not play video games, or they put their hand under a cool water tap and later could play video games. So just to summarize, the positive frame showed desired safety behavior, the negatively framed showed the incorrect behavior. Right after the pair watched this video, the parents were then told, here are three things you might want to talk to your kid about what they just saw. And then the RA, the research assistant, left the room for 3 minutes. In the other condition, after watching that video, the parents were told, can you talk to your kid about what they just saw? Left the room for 3 minutes, right? And in the third condition, the RA left the room for 3 minutes and said, I'll be back in 3 minutes. That was it. After which, parents answered a bunch of questions through a self-administered survey. And then the RAs went to the child and then administered an oral interview, which was a heck of a challenge to come up with measures to that kids would find able to, that they were able to answer. But nevertheless, that's how the survey was done. Okay. This was the guideline that was given for the parents in the guided mediation conditions. So they were told, use cool water, so talk to your kid about that. Never use ice, creams, jellies, or oil-based products. And then do not bandage a burn wound immediately after injury. So can you talk to your kids about these three? So these are the guidelines that were given to the parents. Okay, so what do we find? First of all, just a background of the demographics. Roughly equal number of males and female kids, 53%, slightly more females than males. Parents' race, about 44% African American, 54% white. And you can see the child's age, the 6, 7, 8, and 9 year olds were roughly equally distributed. Parents' education, slightly higher education than is true of Baltimore City. Here we had 49% roughly were college graduates with 16% high school or less. So we had a roughly more educated sample than was in the city. Did the manipulations work? Did the positively framed messages get perceived as being positive, and did the negatively framed messages get perceived as being negative? They all did. So the negatively burn video, here the higher scores represent negative ratings, were significantly different from zero. The negative fire video were also rated by kids as being significantly more negative than zero. And the positive frames were perceived as being more positive than not. Right? So all the manipulations seemed to work. Some of the outcomes, we measured intentions to remain safe. So we asked three questions. If you burned your hand on a stove, what would you do? Left it open-ended to the kids. If your cousin burned her hand on the oven, what would you tell her to do? And if something very hot falls on your leg, what would you do? And if the kid says, well, I'm going to put cool water on the burn, we gave them a score of 1 for each of the responses. If they said anything else, they were coded as being incorrect, gave a score of 0. And then we created an index of intention, and you can see the Cronbach's alpha, 0.65. So what did we do? So we did an analysis of covariance, controlling for the age of the child, the gender, parental education, how much TV they watched, and their message recall, and basically found significant effects. So the test was significant overall. There was a significant message framing effect. There was a significant mediation effect. And there was a significant framing by mediation interaction effect. And I'll show you what that looks like. First of all, the main effect of framing, here higher scores mean more positive response. The lesson here, if you want to talk to kids, frame messages in a positive frame. They're more effective. If you don't give guidance to the parents, makes no difference. It's like having them not talk to their kids at all. We saw positive effects only if parents were given specific guidelines, specific even bullet points, on what to talk to their kids about and how to do so. Overall, what the results showed was that unguided mediation can be particularly detrimental if kids are watching negatively framed messages. Right? So the middle bar there shows that there's this huge difference between a positively framed message and a negatively framed message if the parents, if there is no guidance on how to talk to their kids. So the worst thing you could do would be to show kids a negatively framed message and just tell their parents, hey, talk to your kids. Okay, that would be least productive, according to this research. We saw not quite, somewhat similar, but not exactly the same effects with fire. So the first one was with burn. Here we had asked the question, if there was smoke, what would you do in your house if you woke up one morning and they were in your room and there was smoke in your room? If there's a fire in your cousin's room, what would you tell her to do? And what is the best thing to do if there's a fire in your room? Crouch near the ground and get out was a correct answer, scored 1. Any other response was scored 0. The last variable, the third variable, did not quite hang together in the index, and even then, we only had a reliability of 0.41. So clearly, these three responses did not produce uniformity in responses. So there's a lot of noise in the outcome measure here, and you'll see this is also one of the reasons why we didn't get as strong effects for fire as we did for burn. And I'd be interested to know what you think might account for this. Overall, there were significant effects, but most of that effect was due to framing. There was no mediation effect. There was no interaction. And basically what we found was this, that we replicated the finding that positively framed messages are more important than negatively framed messages, as the first experiment showed. But we didn't find effects for mediation, and we didn't find interaction effects between mediation and framing. So conclusions, positively framed messages are more persuasive than negatively framed messages for kids. Parents need assistance and guidance in how to discuss safety messages with kids. It's not enough just to tell them, talk to your kids. For negatively framed messages, unguided parental mediation was worse than no mediation at all. And potency of negatively framed messages was greater than positively framed messages, but their effects were weaker. I didn't show you this particular data, but basically in the manipulation checks, what we found was that negatively framed messages were perceived to be more negative than positively framed messages were perceived to be more positive, if that makes sense. So negatively framed messages just sort of stick in our minds more prominently, and that means the onus is on us even more to make sure that if we are showing negatively framed messages, that there's a lot of discussion afterwards about what kids just saw. That's it. Thank you.
And we have time for about 1 or 2 questions, and then to go on. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes.
That's an interesting study. Thanks for that. What did the parents say when you left the room if they were given no guidance? Do you know? Were you recording or did you have glass that let you know?
Great question. We were actually behind a one-way mirror.
Yeah.
And which parents were told that this was going to happen. And we recorded all the conversations, and our research assistants are actually transcribing all that data. But basically what we found was that when you just leave parents alone, they don't talk to their kids. And in the condition when we told them to talk to their kids, often they gave wrong information. So, for example, a couple of parents said, you know, I would have put butter on that. And so the thing there was that quite often parents did not know what the right behaviors were. And we're in this field, so we sort of know. Well, to be honest, I didn't know that butter was a really bad thing. And I suspect that if I were a parent in that study, I would be saying the same thing as well. I did not know, for example, that it's bad to put a bandage right afterwards. So I think what we observed was that parents need the intervention just as much as the kids. Yes?
A related question is, since you were observing the parents, were the parents actually watching the video, or did you find parents daydreaming, texting?
No, parents were watching, for sure, because we sort of had a captive audience. It was kind of impossible to not to, you know, it's a loud video right in the middle of your screen there. So, no, they were watching, and that was almost not an issue. Yes?
Is it possible that really it doesn't have anything to do with whether a message is positively or negatively framed, and more has to do whether it's clear, concise, and direct, like stop, drop, you know, and roll? It's easy to remember, it's clear, it's directive. It doesn't matter how you deliver it.
So the message is pithy, right? And it's easy, it's simple and easy to comprehend. I think that may well be the case. However, I'm hesitant to endorse that completely, because in this video, the only difference was what we showed the kids. You know, the sequence was exactly the same. So for example, you know, in this particular video, kids were getting together to come together to plan a party. They were, you know, so, and then while talking about the party, they're doing this cooking in the home, and the kid gets burnt, right? And then, so all this was the same. The only difference was the kid either put his hand under the tap or put butter. And then later on was shown either unable to play with the video games. I think it's easier to communicate with a positive message in terms of what we want them to do. And that may well be the case, but here we didn't really have that, so I'm slightly hesitant to accept that fully.
Well, I think in one way it's right, because it's a 3 to 4 minute video, right?
Yes.
And you're looking at 6 to 9 year age group, so I think having short, concise messaging and getting the message across right in the beginning, I mean, we work with teenagers and they can't get that long. So, you know, when you think about young kids, I think there's something to just having that
really. And I think that what was just said, to say get low and go, is easy to remember. Yeah. Yes.
I was wondering, you may not actually have input to this data, but if you saw a difference, if it mattered the sex of the child and which parent they brought, if that actually played a role in maybe the communication between the parents.
So the overwhelming number of parents, as you might imagine, in our study were moms. Very few. There were a handful of dads. So that was almost impossible for us to look at. But we do know that, I mean, we did look at the gender of the child. There's no difference for gender at all in any of these data. So it seems that at least our messaging was sort of hitting both genders equally. Thank you very much.